Invite your attention back to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue wrapping up now the series we've been doing on the Sermon on the Mount. Most likely, we will conclude this series next Sunday, but this morning I want to look at a particular warning. Last week we considered Matthew chapter 7 in verse 13 through 14, and Jesus presented for us there the idea of two gates, two ways, and two destinations. We'd enter into that straight gate and travel along the narrow pathway. It would lead into life eternal. But it came with a warning. There's also a wide gate that leads to a broad way, but the ends thereof are destruction. And so he encourages us. When you think about the destination and when you think about the ways that you can travel, he tells us, enter ye in at the straight gate in verse 13. In fact, Luke will add to that and he will say in Luke 13 and verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. In other words, you work at it, you labor at it. And so we talked about that idea of the walk that we go through in life as a road that we travel. Which road are you on? The broad road to destruction or the narrow road, the straight way unto eternal life? We talked about making that decision last week, and I think we would say, and certainly hopefully so of this audience, that most of us have made that decision. I'm going to travel on that straight and narrow pathway. But just after having spoken about those words, though, there's going to be a warning. Going to be a warning, and Jesus says, you know, it's not always going to be easy. In fact, he's going to say, in terms of our traffic signs, caution. There's some dangers ahead. There's some pitfalls that you're going to have to watch out for. There's some obstacles that are going to come your way. This road isn't always going to be one that's rosy and one that's always going to be the smoothest of roads and the easiest roads to travel. Simply put, the Christian isn't promised a life of ease and a life of luxury. He says there are going to be some things that pop up that you're going to have to take warning of. You're going to have to be on your guard. You're going to have to decide, am I going to endure through whatever difficulties come my way and yet continue going down that straight and narrow pathway? And so, what is this warning that he issues? I want to begin in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15 this morning. And Jesus says, as we go down this road, first off, there's a great warning here. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Just as there are warning signs along our roadways, and these warning signs alert us to all sorts of things. They can alert us to traffic congestions. They can alert us to construction zones that are ahead or some other potential hazards. Jesus says, as we go down this straight and narrow pathway, there's some potential hazards. There's a warning here that you need to take notice of. Because along this pathway, there are going to be some false prophets. There are going to be some false teachers that aren't going to have you go down the straight and narrow pathway. They would love nothing more than to direct you off onto some other way. To have you walk along some other road. And the warning additionally there is, they're not always going to appear as they are. And so you're going to have to be cautious. You're going to have to take notice of some things. You're going to have to make some distinctions or some discernments here. Is this somebody that wants to help me do good, or is this someone that's directing me in some other way? Did not Paul warn us of the same things? What is Satan, he said, but Satan would make himself out as an angel of light. He would want to appear as something other than he is. And so why would it be any surprise that there are also false prophets? That there are, false apostles. That there are deceitful workers. And that they would transform themselves into apostles of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 and 14. They want to appear as something other than they are. They appear as sheep, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are seeking nothing more than to devour, to destroy. Rather than walking on the straight and narrow, they would direct you onto the broad way, the way that leads into destruction. Oh, they're not going to come out and say it. They're not going to announce themselves as false teachers. They're not going to announce themselves as someone that would get you on a detour that you shouldn't be on. Nevertheless, there are going to be those teaching things they ought not. There are going to be people telling you to give up this walk, this way. So you have to be on your guard. Again, Peter would give us the warning to be sober and vigilant. Because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. There's that warning there. You be cautious. You be cautious who you listen to. You be cautious who you're willing to follow. Because not everyone out there is going to do those things that are best. Not everyone out there is going to direct you onto that straight and narrow pathway. And so many warnings will abound. Not just from Jesus Himself here, certainly. He alerts us to this idea. If you're going to choose to walk down this straight and narrow pathway, you be warned that there are false teachers ahead. There are going to be obstacles ahead that you're going to have to steer around. And so as you're being watchful, I want to show from a number of other scriptures throughout the New Testament as well, just briefly, that this idea of warning was consistent throughout the New Testament. That you watch what you're listening to, you watch what you're being taught, and you watch what you're following to make sure that you're walking the straight and narrow pathway and not some other way that would be disguised. Oh, I think about Acts 20. And Paul here is meeting with the Ephesian elders, and he says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There are going to be false teachers that will destroy Christians. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Verse 29 and 30. He says, there are going to be those that will lead you into a path of destruction. There will be people that want you to follow them rather than following God. And he said, the sad part here is even among from this eldership at Ephesus, there are going to be those that would do these things. And so there is a warning. You watch what you follow and who you listen to. Paul, of course, as he's writing to the Galatians, would marvel that you are so soon removed from Him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, no one, not we, not an angel from heaven, has the power or authority to preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you. And what's the warning there, Galatians 1, verse 6 through 8? There are going to be those that will pervert the gospel. There are going to be those that change it. I think it's interesting here. Paul is telling them, you have listened to something that has been altered. It may still have traces. It may still have even big pieces of the original. But it's been altered, and so it is no longer the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to get you into trouble. And so you be careful what you listen to. In writing to Timothy, Paul would say in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 3, I know that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times shall some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What's the general idea? There are going to be those that depart from purely teaching the gospel of Christ. They're going to teach you man's commandments and man's ideas and lead you away from God. And you be careful what it is that you listen to. Timothy, there are warnings, there are obstacles up ahead. And I'm giving you the warning that you might be watching out for them again. 2 Timothy. This time chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. He says, the time will come when they will not hear or endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He says, warning. There are going to be people that are deceived. There are going to be people that want to listen to something else, and there's always going to be somebody else that will teach them what it is they want to hear. But again, you have to make the decision, who am I going to listen to? John himself, 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Who are you listening to? Is this person that I'm listening to, is this someone that I can trust? Is this someone that is telling me the truth? Don't be naive. Not everyone that comes unto me and teaches the gospel of Christ can I believe is a person that's going to teach me the truth. There are going to be some that are motivated by any number of reasons, and they're not teaching those things that are right. Whether it's for money's sake, whether it's to draw people away after themselves so that they're following men rather than God, whatever it is. There are going to be those that you simply cannot trust. And so you have this warning. I know now there's something I have to be looking out for. Jesus is giving me this warning. You beware of false prophets. You have to take caution. But not just does He give us a warning sign. Here He says also, here's some help. Here's some help that's going to help you distinguish who you can listen to and who you cannot. Here's some help that you can know what you're looking for and how to prepare yourself for it. I want to read in Matthew 7 now, verse 16 through 20. And He says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. What do you think of when you see a warning sign? What if you saw a sign as you were going down the road and all it said was warning? Maybe all it said was watch. Would you know what to do? Would you know what it is exactly you're to be looking for? I don't know if I'm watching for potholes. I don't know if I'm watching from rocks falling from the sky. I don't know if I'm looking for construction. I don't know what I might be steering into. For all I know, the bridge is out ahead of me. That sign doesn't do me a lot of good unless it helps me. It steers my direction and some attention. And so you'll see a sign, warning, lane closed ahead. Warning, watch for falling rocks. Warning, the bridge is closed. Whatever that particular sign might be, it's trying to gear our attention in some direction. And just so if all we had was a warning from God, there would be confusion. If all Jesus says is, you walk down the straight and narrow, and just be careful, some people aren't going to teach the truth. Even still, I don't have much of an idea what to look for. I don't know what it is that I should be on guard of. And so chaos can develop. How do I determine if this person I'm listening to, if this person I'm hearing, if this person that is teaching, how do I determine if he's someone that I can listen to or not? There would be some people that would be led in every direction. Whoever comes through town, whoever I've most recently heard, I'll follow him and what it is that he says. That can create quite a problem. You look around in our religious world today and you consider all the different teachings in the religious world. If I listened to whoever I just happened to hear last, I would bounce from place to place, never knowing what it is I was to believe. And so if I don't heed the warning sign, it does me no good. If the warning sign's too vague, again, it does me no good. Because I might just decide, well, I won't listen to anyone. I won't know what to believe. I won't know what is good. I won't know what is right. But thankfully, I don't have to be blind in these matters of religion. Because Jesus not only said warning, there's going to be some false prophets ahead. He says, here's how you look for them as well. Here is how you can know what it is that I'm to listen to and what I'm not. There's a standard whereby I want you to judge these things. And that standard is God's Word. God's Word, that is what is true, John 17 and verse 17. It's God's Word that's going to judge all men at the end of the world, John 12 and verse 48. It's the very standard whereby I'm going to be judged. And so I have that standard that I can compare to. Is this person I'm listening to preaching the Word of God or not? Jesus didn't say, well, as a man comes into town, you look at the man. And if he looks kind of shady to you, I don't know if I'd listen to him. If he just doesn't strike you in the right way, I don't know if I'd listen to him. I'm not making rash or external judgments here. But you listen to the man. What is the fruit that he is bearing? What is it that he is teaching? And what is it that he is doing? And you compare that to the Word of God. And if it's good, follow it. If it's evil, run far from it. You don't want anything to do with that which is contrary to the will of God. And so what has He made us here? He's made us inspectors of fruit. He says you listen to their words. You listen to what they're teaching. You listen to that, what it is that they are doing. That's how you can tell whether this is a false prophet or not. That's how you can tell if this person is speaking something that is good or something that is evil. Inspect their fruit. I know very little about trees. I can look at a tree and I know whether it has leaves on it or not. I can't tell you what kind it is by looking at its bark or looking at its leaves most of the time. But if you put a piece of fruit up there, usually I'll know what it is. If a tree's growing apples, I'm going to know that's an apple tree. If it's growing oranges, I'm probably going to know it's an orange tree. Peaches, pecans, whatever it is that tree is producing, I can know it by its fruit. And such is true of people as well. Sometimes people surprise us by their looks, by how their first appearance may be unto us. But you listen to the person. And it may be, here's a good and honest person that looks like someone I can trust, but by their fruits I know them. They're not teaching the same things God's Word does. So they're no one I want to listen to. Same time, there are some people that I might look at and say, I don't know about that person. You might not look too trustworthy to me. That's just my first initial opinion. But I listen to him and compare it to what God's Word's saying. He's speaking the truth. There's someone I can listen to. You judge them by their fruits. You look at what it is they are producing, what it is that they are doing. And there's a warning in this. What's the end there of the ones that bear bad fruit? What's the end of the false prophet but destruction? And he's going to take any with him that he possibly can. All that follow after him are walking into the same destruction that he himself is headed for. And so we have to be careful. Jesus not only says warning, he says, here's your help. You look at the fruit that they're bearing. You compare it here to the very standard of God's Word. Back up for just a moment. We thought a moment ago of various places in which there are warnings given here that there are going to be false teachers. There are going to be those that would draw you away from the truth. In almost every case that we can look at, and we're going to go back and look at some scriptures surrounding it, and you're going to see a solution. Not only is that general warning there are going to be some false teachers, but the help is available too. What do? We look to and we hold fast to God's Word. First, I would think about Romans 16. Verse 17 and 18, as Paul gives the warning, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. What's the warning there? The standard. Contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. The gospel's gone forth. You know the Word of God. If they're not teaching it, avoid it. If they're not living lives that are molded by the gospel, avoid them. By their fruits you shall know them. And here are a group of people, he says, that are walking contrary to the doctrine that you've learned. Mark and avoid them. Because they're drawing people away from God. Now, those instances we spoke of earlier, we thought of Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. Now as we come back, he's speaking to them. He not only gave the warning that there would be even those among them that would draw people away after themselves. What's the solution here, Paul? Verse 31 and 32. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Here was Paul that said, I taught the whole counsel of God among you. He says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What's the solution? Hold fast to the word of God. Follow after it. Use it as a standard, as a standard by which we even will judge fruit of a teacher. Of a prophet that goes forth, is he teaching the Word of God or not? As he's writing to the Galatians again, and he says, I've marveled that you've turned away from the gospel unto another gospel. He says, as I said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1 and verse 9. What's the answer? You know the Word of God. You know what you have been taught. You know what has been preached. You know that which is right. Use it as the standard or as your judge. And if it differs from that, if they've altered it, if they've changed it, don't listen to them and don't follow after them. Again, as he writes unto Timothy, and he gave them warning that there are going to be false teachers, he'd also say, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, the things I've taught you, the things I'm writing unto you, the truths of the gospel, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7. Timothy, don't be caught up in all the little tales and the fables and everything that you're going to hear. You stick with the Word of God. That's the standard that you're going to have to follow. The same is taught to him again in 2 Timothy. As we are reminded here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Timothy, this is a word that needs to go forth because it's going to instruct and it's going to build up. It's also going to reprove and correct. It's the standard, again, by which you're going to be able to judge and confront those who aren't teaching the truth. Stick with it. In fact, there in chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. You teach the word of God. Why? Verse 3 and 4, because people aren't always going to listen to the truth and they're going to be turned aside unto fables. And so you teach them what is right, what is good, what is true. Hold fast to the Word of God. And again, John. John, you've warned us there are going to be false teachers. He says, hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come into the world or has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Tells them not only that there are going to be false teachers, here even is an example of things that they're going to be teaching. Already within the first century there are those arising saying the deity, Jesus Christ Himself, never dwelt within the flesh. They were already conflicting that which the Bible taught, and so John was telling them, you be on guard. You watch what it is that you are going to listen to. And so, indeed, there are false teachers in the world. There are those that are going to lead you astray unless you lose everything that you're working so hard for. Unless you lose that goal of eternal life, you watch who you follow. In fact, 2 John 9 through verse 11, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. There's your standard. It's the Word of God. Are they continuing in it? Are they following in it or not? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Have nothing to do with him. Compare again to the Word of God. Is that what you're teaching or not? If it's not, I want nothing to do with it. I'm not going to follow after it. I'm not going to be caught up in that wicked deceit that's going to lead into destruction. But I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And so there's the warning. Jesus says, here's the help available to identify, to look at who it is that I'm to be on guard against, what it is I'm to avoid and steer around, as it were. He says then also, then what's the importance? What does this matter? Is it really important that we heed these warnings that you're giving us? Let me ask you this. Is it important if we heed the warning signs that are along the highways? If the sign says the bridge is out ahead and we laugh at it and continue on our merry way, should it be any surprise when we go over the edge of that cliff because the bridge isn't there anymore? There are dangerous consequences to ignoring warnings that are given. If it says, warning, there is congestion and slow traffic ahead and I continue on at 70 miles an hour, I am putting not only my own life at risk, but the lives of those that are in front of me at risk, because I may not be able to stop in time for the congestion I've just been warned of, because I ignored the warning. Time and again, you think of warning signs that are given, and they're there for a purpose. If we decide to just ignore them, then we shouldn't be surprised if we suffer the consequences of them. And such is true both physically and spiritually. If we ignore those spiritual warnings, there are dangerous consequences that are attached with those things. And then, of course, the idea of why? Because there's an eternal judgment. We're going to close this section in Matthew 7, verse 21 and 20 through 23. As Jesus has just said, by their fruits you shall know them. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. There's a reminder here, yes, there are false prophets in the world that aren't following the will of God, that would have you follow after them, but what's the end thereof? Again, it's this eternal destruction. They won't enter into the kingdom of heaven because they're not doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's a warning here. Eternal judgment awaits. And it's there for all. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. You're all going to be there. There's both a comfort and a warning in there. There's going to be false prophets that plague the way. They're going to this eternal judgment. And they're going to receive their just rewards. Those that have plagued you and troubled you, they're coming up against this judgment. But there's a warning in there as well. You're going to be there. All accountable people are going to be there in this time of eternal judgment. And so you be careful what you listen to. You be careful what you follow, because you're going to be there as well. Oh yes, the false teacher is responsible for what he teaches. He's responsible for what he's leading others astray. But you as an individual are responsible for what you believe. You're responsible for what you follow. You're responsible for who you decided to listen to. Is it going to be God and His Word? Are you going to follow some false teacher? Again, warnings. We think of what Paul commended the brethren at Berea. In Acts 17 and verse 11, they were more noble. They were more fair-minded than those at Thessalonica, because they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to have the same attitude. Here's an apostle that's coming among them, and they're checking God's Word to make sure what He's saying is right and true and accurate. How much more? When some 28-year-old little boy stands before us and says, this is what the Word of God is. When some 60-year-old man comes over the radio and says, I'll tell you what you need to believe, how much more am I going to look and make sure that's the Word of God or not? That's what I need to be doing or not. I'm not going to put my eternal destiny in His hands just because He said so. I want to see that it's right and that it's true. And so Paul would tell Timothy, you study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You know God's word. You follow God's word. Even there, Timothy, you go forth and you preach God's word. Why? Because that eternal judgment awaits. And the sad part there is that it seems some will be truly surprised on that occasion. And yet the warning is given here. You don't have to be surprised. You don't have to be caught off guard. Because I am giving you the warning now. How many are going to be led astray by a false teacher? How many aren't going to be doing that which is right because they haven't heeded the warning? And yet Jesus gives us the warning. He says, don't listen to everyone that tells you what it is you ought to be doing. You listen to God. Because he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he's the one that has this eternal home. Yes, I believe as I read that section there in about verse 22 and 23, there are going to be many that in this life think everything is fine, think they are doing that which is right, have full confidence, and are truly going to be surprised on the day of judgment. Haven't we been following you? I have a zeal of God, as Paul would testify of the Jews. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10 and verse 2. They haven't stopped to consider and look for themselves what is God's will, what is right and what is wrong. And so too easily are led astray by someone else. And the judgment's going to come, and that warning is given in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 and 9 for those that aren't ready. That Jesus is coming again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall be punished forever with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You've been sidetracked. You've been led off onto some other road, and so you're no longer walking with God. And now we'll be eternally separated from the presence and the glory of God. An eternal destruction. But of those that would heed the warning, those that would listen to it, those that would stay on the straight and narrow pathway, there's also a promise as you back up to 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 that reminds them there is rest given to those of you that are now troubled. And so what's the key? Jesus says it there in Matthew 7 and verse 21. John says it in 1 John 5 and verse 3. If we love God, keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Are we going to follow after God? Are we going to heed the warning and continue walking in that straight and narrow pathway? Yes, there are obstacles ahead. And yes, there are those that would derail you from the right way, that would love to get you off track. But while there are obstacles in the way, you can be warned of them. You can be alert for them. You can avoid them. And you can enjoy that eternal reward. Again, as we've said time and again, chapter 7 is a persuasive sermon. Jesus is calling on us to do something. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to heed the warning or are you going to ignore it? It's great to make that initial decision, to enter in at the narrow gate, walk along that straight way, that way that leads to eternal life. But as we go along that road, we have to understand there are obstacles. There are those that would detract us. There are those that would get us off course. And so we have to equally decide, I'm going to stay on that way. I'm not going to let anyone sidetrack me. I'm not going to let anyone lead me astray. What I'm going to do as Jesus says there in Matthew 7 and verse 21. I'm going to do the will of His Father which is in heaven. And the promise there is not only that the false teacher and those that have gone astray will not enter in that home, but the promise is that as I walk in that way, then that is the home that I have a full expectation for. That is the home that I believe the promise of God is pointing me to. Where are we at? We asked last week, are we walking on that straight and narrow road or not? And we'll ask it again. We've not even started on that journey. We're not walking on that way. We're presently finding ourselves on that broad, that wide path that leads unto destruction. But we have the opportunity even this morning to change that. To decide through obedience to the gospel, I have heard it, I believe it, and I want to put it into action. I want to repent of my sins and confess Christ and be baptized in water for the remission of my sins, to rise again as a new creature, to be added into that body that He's promised to save. But then also I'm going to recognize as I go in that life, I've got to be ready to face some obstacles. I'm going to decide I'm going to walk with God no matter what. If we haven't made that decision, there are some pitfalls ahead for us. And so decide even this morning, I'm going to heed those warnings. I'm going to watch. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn and grow that I can walk with God, that I can walk in His way, and I can enjoy that eternal home with Him in heaven. Are you subject to God's invitation this morning? Maybe to become a New Testament Christian, maybe to be restored in a faithful relationship or some other concern that you have this morning, which we can go to the Father in prayer or help in some other way. Wouldn't you let that be known? Even as together right now we stand and sing.